Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Sella Wood. Sella has been a member of Mountain Brook Baptist for about 15 years. I can't wait for you to hear more about her life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, she'll read God's Word for us. Thank you, Sella, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mary. I'm so excited to be here. Today, I will be reading Isaiah chapter 52, starting in verse 13, going through chapter 53, ending in verse 12. The suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond any human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now I am reading Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 17, going through verse 29. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles, Paul the Roman citizen. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live. As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. Then the commander said, "I had to pay a big price for my citizenship." "But I was born a citizen," Paul replied. Those who were about to question him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. Now I am reading Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sella, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We'd like to learn more about you. Tell me a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so my parents attend here too. Their names are Brian Wood and Joy Wood, if you know them. My mama sings in the choir, so you may see her up there on Sunday mornings. But we grew up here in this church, started going here around 2010, so been about 15 years. Also have a brother. He lives with his wife and their two boys in Wetumpka, Alabama. So it's always fun to go visit them.
Have you lived in Mountain Brook your whole life?
Yes, I have. I grew up here, been attending Mountain Brook Elementary School, Mountain Brook Junior High, and Mountain Brook High School.
And then where did you go to college and what do you do professionally?
I went to Samford University for my undergrad.
Go Dawgs.
Studied nursing there. So now I am a labor and delivery nurse.
You skipped a big part. You just graduated with a big degree. Let me hear about that one.
Yes, August of last year, I graduated with my Master's of Science in Nursing, the Family Nurse Practitioner Program at UAB.
I want to hear more about your role as a labor and delivery nurse.
So it has been really special to me, and it never gets old watching these babies come into the world and celebrating with families that have gone through a lot of difficulty, either getting pregnant or having a very difficult pregnancy journey, history of infertility, and things like that. It has been really beautiful to see the pregnancy come to the end through the birth of the baby and also just being there through support through the painful and difficult process of labor and delivery.
How do you see your faith connecting with your job?
So something I do, our parking deck, our employee parking deck is down the hill. And every time I walk up the hill, I pray. And I pray that I can be a light to others that I see. And I pray for wisdom for me and the doctors and other coworkers that I have. But even if I'm not verbally mentioning the gospel, I pray that I can be a light to others around me and show them the love of Christ through my actions as I care for my patients.
Outside of work, what are some of your hobbies and interests?
Something I have been getting into recently has been baking. I've always enjoyed baking and growing up with my mom, baking with her, but I have been into baking bread, specifically sourdough bread.
So you have a starter?
I do have a starter. I actually have two starters.
Are they the same starter?
They are not. They are different. One of them is like a traditional flour and water starter. And then the other one you feed with water, sugar, and potato flakes.
Okay. I have that kind of starter.
Yes.
But I'd like to know about the other one.
Yes. I can share some starter with you.
Oh, gosh. What kind of bread comes out with the flour and water starter?
So a typical like traditional rustic crusty loaf, like you bake in a Dutch oven.
Ooh, sounds super yummy.
It is good. It's not my favorite. I like the potato flake one better.
The sugar.
Yes.
What else do you enjoy?
I also have gotten into needlepointing recently. It's a great hobby for me when the days are getting shorter and it's dark outside so early I can do it inside.
What is your current project?
I have been doing, there's the Linux Spice Village. It's a bunch of little houses. And so I am making them, they're like little glass houses, but I'm making little needlepoint figures of those that I'll probably make into ornaments and hang on Christmas trees.
Speaking of Christmas, do you have a favorite family tradition surrounding Christmas or even Thanksgiving? Because that's coming up too.
In the past, I have always just enjoyed spending time with family. We don't have to have anything super organized as far as traditions, but spending time with family because we're all able to take a break and get together and talk and just relive through a bunch of different memories, cook together, and enjoy one another's company.
Food is a big part of my holiday celebrations, and I've eaten some of your mom's food and from her garden. Are you a gardener, and what kind of foods do you guys like to cook?
So I actually do have a little garden behind my apartment. It doesn't have a whole lot of different things, which is why my parents' garden is my main supplier throughout the summer, but I'll grow things like green beans or kale in the winter, and I really enjoy growing flowers, specifically zinnias, and I've been able to make a lot of pretty bouquets throughout the past few years from that.
Did you grow up gardening with your parents? Just for reference, Sella's parents have a huge garden in their backyard.
Yes, I have a lot of memories gardening with them, specifically around my birthday, which is in May. It would always signify when it was time to dig up the potatoes. So my dad and I, around my birthday, would dig up potatoes together. And so I have a lot of fond memories of doing that with him.
What are some of the favorite things to cook from the garden?
I really like green beans and then peas, like zipper peas, squash, and zucchini. I'll use the zucchini to make zucchini bread. It was my granny's recipe, so been able to share that with a lot of different other people through my baking, which is really special.
We're going to need a loaf of that. Let's move on to talking about your faith journey. How did you come to faith in Christ, and what has that journey been like with him?
So I have been very blessed by being exposed to Jesus throughout my whole life through my parents and my grandparents. They have always been a great influence on me and have always encouraged me to grow closer with my relationship with God, even as a young child. I can't honestly picture a time where I did not know about God, and that has been really special for me looking back.
I know that you were baptized at Mountain Brook Baptist. Recount the timing of that and maybe since then how the Lord has been at work.
So we came to Mountain Brook Baptist Church around when I was in high school, and my parents were waiting until we found a church that felt like a good fit for us before I became a member and got baptized. And because of how welcoming Mountain Brook Baptist Church has been and how inviting the youth group has been, we were able to find a home here and have since continued finding our home here with this church family.
Yes, I remember when you guys moved to the church, and it was such a delight to get to know you, and you jumped right in, especially to learning those scriptures so that we could go on the event. For context, this is when the kids would memorize scripture. They got to go to a special event, and they didn't know what it was going to be. Does one of those rise to the top as a memory?
One of my favorites was after memorizing scripture, we went to the club and we pulled up in the unmarked white church van. And the people working at the club were pretty confused as to why we were there.
I mean, you know, that's kind of like a limousine.
Kind of is. It's a lot of people, but I just remember that being really fun and special and being able to look out the windows on Birmingham. But I just have a lot of great memories from doing that within the youth group.
Can you remember any of the passages?
Romans 8 was one that particularly comes to mind. I feel like I need to go back and review it some, but It's been really special to connect that, especially if I hear it mentioned in a sermon or in conversation, being able to have that scripture memorized.
Is there a part of church life that you enjoy?
I really enjoy the community that comes with being in church. My Sunday school class I attend is for college and young professionals, and I really enjoy getting to meet new people and seeing how God has led them here to our church and getting to know them and see. A lot of them are in school and starting careers, so it's been interesting to see how they have chosen each of these paths and how things are going for them.
I think that that's a perfect class for you because you're very welcoming and you help people feel at home. Where do you guys meet and who leads out?
So we meet right outside of the gym, which is actually a pretty great place to meet because it's overall pretty quiet. But our main teachers are Amy Hirsch and Mark Rector, and then recently we've added Wayne Ingram, which we grew up in the youth group together, so it's been pretty special to have him coming to teach us as well.
As you reflect on the passages that we read today, was there something that stood out to you?
Specifically in the Isaiah passage, talking about the servant, it has just been a beautiful reminder and picture of how Christ suffered, but he did not complain and he did not have any violent acts about everything that he went through, but just the beauty that he took on our sin. And because of that, we are able to be blameless.
In a difficult season or in different seasons of life, how have you sensed the Lord's comfort or presence?
Sometimes it's hard for me to see exactly why I'm doing certain things in the moment, but looking back, I can see how he has worked through my life. For example, something that has been more recent was when I was applying to go back to grad school for becoming a nurse practitioner, I had a lot of debate on which school I would go to. I initially applied to the University of Alabama, but then got rejected by them, which was very disappointing in the time. But then I got accepted to UAB. And because of that, I have had the opportunity to be a clinical instructor for UAB undergrad students. And that has opened up a new career opportunity for me. So I can see how the Lord worked through the rejection by providing a better option for me in the future.
And you are so wonderful at interacting with new people. And so I know that the students have enjoyed getting to learn from you. What are some of the things you think about that you want to instill in them as nurses?
Some of the main things that I want to do is not only discuss the textbook knowledge that they need to become nurses, but also providing compassion and being able to have a heart for their patients and make it less medical, but also offer emotional support for the patients.
Sella, thank you so much for joining the podcast and for living and working in a way that helps others flourish. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, I would love to. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for Mountain Brook Baptist Church and the sense of community in the body of faith that we have together through this church. I thank you for each and every person that is a part of this church and the gifts and talents that they provide to help further your kingdom. I pray for each and every person within the church, and I pray that you can give them wisdom and strength to deal with whatever they are going through. I thank you for your word and how we're able to read it. I pray that you can open our hearts so we can understand it and apply it to our lives. I thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.